This is the Taney County Commission, Thursday, April 26, 2012. Our first order of business this morning was executive session, and we came out of executive session at 8:24, and we're now going into regular session. First order of business is a staff departmental update with Road and Bridge. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Randy, you want to start?
The information I received is you gentlemen want to discuss future projects and possibly estimated costs. So we put together a variety of projects and work, future work, and have a pretty good list there for you to review. Overall view of it, we have some fill projects due to the flooding in the last 3, 4, 5 years. We got projects including widening and fill, realignment type stuff. Then we also have bridge replacement projects on our road list here.
Did you upstairs?
Probably. I'm not sure where. I've been several places this morning, so I may have eaten in that sacker.
Not that one?
No.
You better get your glasses, Mr. Dan.
I can see part of it.
We'll be back to lower mine.
Let me try. I know he wants to look at this list. I covered that.
Let's see what they look like. I don't know where we're looking.
Before we, Danny, while you're trying to look at that list, I've had a couple of guys from R&B call me about the comments that were made by commission last week. It might have been this week. I'm not sure which one it was, but about the shirts and the purchase of the new shirts. Mm-hmm. And what about the shirts that the R&B employees have had in the past that the sleeves had already been cut out of? Can they wear them? That was the question that was asked of me. What are you guys' thoughts? What are your thoughts? And Jim, what are your thoughts?
Well, the only reason we made, I made the comment is because not everyone cuts the sleeves out the same way. It starts looking pretty raggedy. It's not that I'm against, sleeveless shirts or anything like that. It's just a matter of, you represent the county, and I just sure would like to see some sort of uniformity to, it's a uniform. And that's why I was concerned about the sleeveless, us cutting sleeves out of the shirts. It's not because I'm against that. It's just because of how it wears, how it looks. And it's so ununiform. It looks pretty raggedy at times.
The information that I'd pass along to the gentleman, all the employees, as we get in the number who all won the safety T-shirts, was that we preferred, if we paid for the T-shirts, they didn't cut the sleeves out, and they didn't wear, if they bought T-shirts of their own, that was fine as long as they didn't have sleeveless or cut out, they could wear the uniform shirt. If they didn't want to wear the T-shirts, we were going to purchase for them.
Well, if we've got the Taney County emblem on the back of them, then we're getting the break on the cost that we had from before, which we had eliminated because of cost. I just assume that they didn't. I don't know that it's an advantage or disadvantage to do that. The other shirts are, that our uniform shirts are heavier. and they have to wear the vest, protective gear, reflection on top of it. I just assume if they do the shirts with the price that we got for those, that they didn't cut the sleeves out of them, and that
according to the individuals that have talked to me, is not a question, and they said that they wouldn't cut. What they're asking about is the shirts that they purchased personally and whether or not that are existing, that they've been wearing and utilizing, and they bought for that purpose. Can they, in fact, continue wearing them, or do they have to discontinue wearing them? I guess that's the question.
Here's the question. Here's the answer to that. The county's buying these other shirts, and they can wear those shirts without cutting the sleeves out of them. Any of the county property that's being bought that need the sleeves cut out of them, and they can wear them because the county's furnishing them. That's the answer to that question. I mean, you wouldn't take one of your county uniforms, I don't think, cut the sleeves out of it, or cut, of course, some of them might want to crop it off, you know, and show the midriff.
Here's a picture.
Not funny.
Emblazoned upon my mind, thank you very much. Jim, you feel the same way? Are you walking?
I'm in the parking lot right now. Do you want me just to hang up and I'll be there in a few minutes?
Depends on what you're doing out there.
Yeah, I guess it does. I'll be there. I'll hang it up.
Bye.
My sleeves out of his shirt.
No, tape any sleeves back.
Like anything else that the county would buy, we wouldn't buy a uniform, and I consider this part of the uniform, and let you cut sleeves out of it. That's the way I feel about it. So that's just one of, I mean, what they've bought themselves, and that's a different story. But the county's furnishing the uniforms now. That's the reason we went that route. And we saved almost 2.5 times what the others were costing.
A couple other questions maybe we could jump to. One was, did you have a chance to go over and look at that property? I know we had a request on our Mount Branson property for that pointed corner piece.
No, I had two guys call me and want me to come and look at it, and I sure never got a chance to. We were busy all day yesterday, and then which I just didn't get the chance to.
Okay.
My answer as of now was no. On the selling of the property, because of concerns, I'd have to get some legal questions answered also.
It was a question from a neighbor as to whether or not he could utilize the cut through there for access to his property. And we were going to look at and see how that bothered us or didn't bother us, or was that little piece utilized or not utilized. And so you are going to check. You are going to look
right
at it. And
now, let me explain.
What's his name? Oh, it's Crockett.
I know that these boys know what the situation is out there. If we decide to level, as that slopes off, and if we decide to go down, every inch of toe that we have to level that piece of property off is a quite a bit of value to us. And if we sell a corner off of it, that means we have to cut the toe back, and we lose way more property than just what the driveway is. As a matter of fact, we might lose as much as 3 times the amount.
My concerns with that would be drainage and utilities. Because this property drains onto a county-maintained road and then drains on down to another cross pipe. That and utilities, so would be my concerns with that.
We'll look at it. On this other list that you have given us, our main reason for that is to review I don't think it's for discussion this morning. It's because you've got enough projects that you've already talked about. But to review this, to see, as we have done, I think, the last two, maybe 3 years, of the added funds that might be available for taking in of additional mileage of county roads. And so we'll look this over, and we also had the situation with the flooding that we are starting to take care of, which adds to cost out of road and bridge. So that was my main concern on asking for the list and to go over it.
One item on the list that I failed to get an estimated cost, and you, I've kind of estimated Birmingham Road widening. If you want to write in an estimate, about $150,000 is what we kind of estimate. We missed one there.
And is that all the way down, or where you got? Are you going to?
It's pretty much the majority of the way down. There's some culvert work's going to have to be done. There's just sections of it that are going to have to be widened. Some of it is all right, and then, but there's two, three sections that we're looking at widening and improving corners.
Now you, I visited with Harlan the other day, and we talked about the box culverts and things that were going in, and that's on which one? The Shady Springs, is it not on?
Yeah.
It's a FEMA. It's a FEMA.
Yeah, it's
project,
it's already going to be done this year, and it's not actually box culverts. We're just going to put concrete pipe and do concrete work on top of it, and we already have the pipe.
But it's what I'm saying is it's. Will it be totally FEMA paid?
No.
Okay, which one is it on here? Do you have it on here?
No, we. I don't think we put it on here. We do have the Pro Tem Cedar Creek replacing a damaged structure, but we didn't put Shady Springs on here under the bridge.
Well, what are we going to... Now, that's the reason I wanted to know so how much we're going to end up with cost on added to, like you said, that this is a FEMA project, but we're going to have expense also. Would like to know how much money we have available for additional taking in of county roads into the maintenance system. And I'll need to know those. Is there more than that one that's FEMA?
That should be the last. Shady Springs and then Pro Tem Cedar Creek is the last two that will be FEMA involved.
Okay. Now, the deal, Harlan, that I'd visit with you about under Beaver Creek Bridge, is that all taken care of as you cross it there at the park?
The only thing I'll have to do is add, you got two soldiers to put down top mix. Right under the bridge, we've got a piece to the hot mix and from the bridge launch ramp up, hot mix there.
Have we received FEMA funds for all of the, what you just mentioned?
That is FEMA.
Okay, so that we can count that off.
It won't be 100%, but it'll be...
We can count, that's what I'm wanting to know, is we can scratch that off. When we get the bridge, is it an 80, 20, 90, 70, 70, 30, or 90, 10? Or how is the FEMA money on the Pro Tem Cedar Creek Bridge?
We're going to receive about $10,000 is what we're going to receive on that. Because all they wanted to do was give us 75% of replacement costs of the existing structure. And we're totally realigning and building a new structure. So all we're getting from the FEMA on that is about $10,000. And we're looking at a $130,000 to $40,000 project there.
Yeah. Is there
now the Shady Springs will be more of a 75% cost on basically what we're doing there. We're not totally revamped, but we're just putting in the concrete culverts and then putting concrete over an old concrete box culvert, taking that out and replacing it with concrete pipe.
Okay.
So that cost is not going to be too great there, but the FEMA money will be close to 75%
on it.
Right.
And is there any way we can, and I guess you've already been through that process, the protest, the Pro Tem Cedar Creek payment, because even though we planned on realignment, we planned on all this stuff, but we didn't plan on our bridge being washed out at this time. We were going to do it when we had available funds in the budget. So that is a concern to me, that the bridge washed out, which takes away the availability of the people to travel that road, which are some heavy trucks, delivery trucks, and everything else that use that road. But are we past the protest part of that, of protesting the amount of money?
Right. I mean, there's an appeal process you could go through, but you're looking at probably a two-year lengthy process and talking with
us. You mean the appeals on their decision as to what to fund?
Yes.
Yeah.
How much they would fund on a bridge that was washed out. Now, it forces us, because we had it in a... we already had this in our projects of improvements, but it was for realignment and everything, Ron. And now it's because of budget restraints, it's forcing us to go ahead and use monies that we weren't going to use this year. We had this planned, and we've done that stretch of road in sections as we went through there. It's very nice, but this is pushing us forward about probably two years, wouldn't you guess, or two or three years, that the flooding come through and wiped out the road, mm-hmm. and now they're just wanting to pay us $10,000 to repair a bridge that we'd be tearing out.
But the reasoning was that they would utilize, they would give us those dollars based upon what the worth of that bridge was at the time, right? And
basically,
it would cover any of the realignment costs.
No, what they were giving us was 75% of replacement costs of just the deck that was damaged.
Okay.
Is all they're giving us.
But for us to go through the process, you say it's going to take about 2 years?
Yeah.
Do we do nothing in the interim?
No. We go ahead and do
so. So we do the project and we request based upon something that happened in the past?
I don't know how that process actually works. If you're allowed to go ahead with the project as we want to build it, and whether they would give extra money or not, I don't know.
Well, I think Dan's point is well taken. We need to reapply based upon the flood.
There's inspectors down there from FEMA, and they all concluded the same. They couldn't find enough substructure damage on it to warrant any more.
Here's my point, and I agree with you, and I know you've worked hard on this, but here's my point. If we went back and replaced exactly what they wanted us to replace, then we'd have to tear the dang thing out in two years, tear the whole bridge and everything out, and the whole cost of everything is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was wanting them to look at. I mean, it's on a realignment project with a different bridge. But if there's nothing we can do about it, we can move on and take the hit this year that we were planning on taking 3 years from now.
See, that's how we're getting the money from FEMA. We have to go back to FEMA. FEMA will only put back to exactly what was there. They will not allow any modification. But you go to FEMA to put that money toward modification. And FEMA authorizes that, that you can do that. And then you can upgrade to a different type of whatever system.
But I'd like to check into it. What about you guys on that part of it? We're going to proceed with construction.
That's the bottom line, is that as long as we don't wait the construction.
Right. We're not going to wait.
We can't. I mean, that's the ridiculous part, is that we need to go ahead and take care of the situation.
That's what we plan on doing. I just was looking for an outsource of funding for something that we were planning on doing 3 years from now.
Right.
It affects everybody's budget and what we're planning on doing. So.
We just got to move forward?
Yeah.
Rich Scott?
All right, let's go ahead.
So, how do you want me to proceed? I mean, we're going to proceed with constructing the bridge, but do you want me to proceed with trying to acquire more funding for it?
Well, I don't know. From what Harlan said, you'd have to go through SEMA to do that.
Right, and we've already sent all the information and talked with them and give the estimate of what we're building, and all that information has already went through.
Is there any other, I mean...
I believe you've got agreements with FEMA over the initial settlement.
That, and that's what I talked with Spencer. What's the process there? And he said it's not a quick process, and it's a timely... I mean, and you may come out on the losing end of it. You still may not.
Because of the expense to apply going through the engineer, you mean?
I'm not sure. I'd have to find out what that would be.
I mean,
we're talking about $10,000 total, right?
Yeah.
That's what they're offering us. And the total project is how much again?
About 130, 40 is what the bids come in. I mean, to do the project. But... keep in mind, they're only giving us 75% just to replace that piece of slab that washed down the creek.
Right.
That's all they're going to give us.
Totally pre-existing.
Right.
Have we looked at any other grants at all? I mean, I know CDBG is broke, but have we looked at anything else? I mean, that's what I mean. You're talking about other funding. I mean, I know a lot of times you can't combine federal monies, but $10,000 to $130,000 a project is not much.
No.
It really is not, compared to what it's going to take to fix the problem.
Well, but the point is, they don't care what our project is. They're going to replace what was there and what was damaged.
They had a strange rule out there at the Narrows. We had a landslide off that upper bank, that mountainside, such as Stottle had one over wherever. Because it was on the upper side of the road, they would pay one penny, period. Now, had it been on the lower side of the road, we'll stay out the lower side of the road, they pay that.
Okay. I'd say we just go take the money, take the grievance process. I think the grievance process will cost us.
We may have someone here who wants to speak on this issue.
We might.
The only thing that I would add is if you wanted to look at if there's any hazard mitigation funds available, because that is an option that can go with this.
Okay. Is that something you could help with?
I could help with it. I mean, I could look into it. I don't know if it's truly, like, if there would be funds available, but if it's worth looking into, I could.
I'd say let's look into it.
Yeah, I think anytime there's...
I mean, any help we could do.
Yeah.
No problem.
If you would help work with Randy to see what... I mean, I don't think we want to get caught up into a long, lengthy process of not knowing, but if we could get resolution, at least indication... it's worth investigating. I just don't want to wait 6 months and say, oh, well, there's nothing.
Right.
But, yeah, if you could help, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. I have no problem. I can contact mitigation and see if there's any, you know,
perfect.
What we need to do.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
On your list you have here at the very top, Randy, it's Dale Avenue. That's not the relocation of that road, is it?
No.
No, okay.
That's what we're thinking about there is basically just trying to fill in the existing road to get it at an elevation where we wouldn't have to close it if Tabor Rock Lake elevation ever got to that point. Now, it's not really a relocation. I know we have the access currently. And that's still an option. And even if we raise and relocate, we possibly have to acquire some additional right-of-way for fill slopes and things like that.
Wouldn't that be, I mean, could you, I mean, I guess part of my question is, could you get with Melissa, since she's offering that mitigation, okay. Identify a few roads and have her investigate the mitigation part? Because Dale is going to flood as soon as that lake elevation gets to a certain point. And if we can mitigate that, which this seems that Dale would qualify if a road were to qualify, to see if there's a way we can see if there's some funds out there to help. I mean, obviously, Clevenger Cove, it serves a lot of people too, but I mean, I would think, well, if there's any avenues that Melissa can help us with, ductwork, I think we should look into it. Don't you think?
Yep.
And as we just see what, based off of what we get, I mean, and I don't know what the criteria is for mitigation. If there's X amount of residents or, I mean, I don't know what the criteria are for that.
Okay. Well, several residents on that one. Happy Hollow, same scenario. Graham Clark, that creates quite a distance to go around 86 and come in the backside. So that does create a problem there, but a little different on that one. There's only one on Bull Shoals, and that would be the Aremus Road. And that's not a big field, not a lengthy field, but when Bull Shoals gets the top elevation, it will close that one off. And you can still take a big truck through there, but you won't get a car or pickup or any vehicle like that through there. So right now there's only 2-3 homes there involved, but there is a subdivision back there that eventually will get built out at some point. So.
What my whole thought process is as we look at this as a needs list, we're going to have to evaluate these things and do them as we have budget funds ready, and we're into May of this year. Chip and seal is going to be coming on. There's a lot of things that's going to take up time all the way into September and October, that from that stretch on we could do some of these smaller projects and still yet stay within our budget line of what we want to get done and set some of these others aside for next year's budget. That's where we have to. That's what I'm looking at.
Can I ask a question here? I don't want to rush this, but I also know we've got a lot of little things that we could get done real fast. Can you guys wait around 30 minutes or so and let us try to get through some of these other ones? I mean, I don't know if the penalties and interest will last very long. I don't think it will unless I – do you think it will last very long? 15 minutes. Could you guys – 30 minutes? Is that possible? Okay.
Well, we've got a bid scheduled at 9.
Yeah,
so
but that will be real
– push it forward.
Yeah, that should all happen real fast, I would think. Is that all right with you guys, commissioners?
That's fine.
It's okay with me.
I don't want to rush this. I mean, we're here. You guys are here. We've got a tight schedule. I don't want to rush this part. Cause
it's at 10:30. We're leaving.
But I think we can get up and done real fast.
Let's
penalties and interest. Can we do that real fast?
Do you want to postpone staff departmental update till 9:30? So that we can move that properly?
Postpone to a definite time, 9:30 staff departmental update, Road and Bridge.
Second? Is there a second?
Yeah, second.
Motion's been made and seconded to postpone to the definite time of 9:30, the staff departmental update of Road and Bridge. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Penalties and interest.
Had on the agenda, which one did you want to discuss first? You had the letter from Wren on the real estate. Is that the one you want to? Can we do that first?
How is it signed, like Westcott or? Let's
start with the one that was prior to that. Is that okay?
I
don't remember the name.
If you don't mind, I'd like to settle the Wren, and then do you mind the Wren, the real estate one? It's the one that involves them.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we have one pending that the county commission has not voted on, but I'll go to this one. No, I'll go whichever one you want to go to first.
Okay, well, I just had the papers in order.
It says Wesley Wren, Westcott Holdings, LLC, and then there's a 3-page letter that we have from Mr. Wren.
What I did, because there was a couple of clerks in the office involved, and then it came, and then with the original, not the original, the first owner, who he would not give us his name, it was by phone, and we just knew it was under the name of Westcott Holdings. And then Mr. Wren came in, and I spoke with him, and we went over each step of the procedure. And the address that is on the bill comes from your deed, and the deed, the deed is put on by when they do their closing. They should tell, it's put on the deed, and the recorder's office mails the deed to that address. The assessor's office picks that address up to mail the, put the tax statement on, and that's the address it went on. And I explained that to him, and we went in great detail. I pulled, and then they wondered how we got the, because it comes to a tax sale, we do search on each letter that's returned. We have several steps we go through. But also in discovering, we did not find in a return mail on any of the items, and this is a two-year delinquent, on your delinquent notices or the original statements where the bill was actually returned. I asked Mr. Wren if he received his deed because it would have been mailed to the same address. He said no. I said, well, then when you didn't receive the deed, I would have thought, you know, you would have checked with the recorder's office and then we could have caught it all that trail. Anyway, the way we caught it this time is when we do a lien search, we notify all lien holders. And when we did that, the lien holder notified him, and which it was someone they knew, and immediately called. And the other partner, which name would be Scott something, I don't know them, he called, and we did not have the option. We do not have the legal right to waive penalties and interest. If it had been a county error in any way, I would have suggested he could have approached to you. We went. I pulled the document where we got from the and showed him where the deed, what was the address was on the deed, and where we'd sent, got the lien holder's name, showed it to him, and
So are you saying, okay, I'm just going to recap. Mm-hmm. You mailed everything to the address.
Mm-hmm.
The person is saying he doesn't have a deed. Mm-hmm. Did he ever get his deed?
He said, I said, you can go to the recorder's office and see if your deed was returned
right
there, or you can get a copy of your deed.
Okay. So, but nothing got returned, so the mail is going to wherever the desk, I mean.
It's a physical address. The address
what,
was post
a,
office
box. Is it a residential box. House? I don't remember. I don't have that.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's Westcott Holdings, LLC, Post Office Box 1112, Branson.
Okay.
Now, I've got to say, we corrected the address when he gave it to us, and I need to go back to 10. I just got 11's bill here. But it's the address that was on the deed when it. Oh, okay, here's the address. I've got a copy of the deed. The deed says 2299 South Business Highway 65, Hollister, Missouri. That's where the bills would have been mailed to.
Okay.
And then because the trustee's deed was filed, we mailed it to the lien holder to notify him to protect his rights. And he notified the owner. When they called us, they gave us the address, Post Office Box 1112, Branson.
Okay.
There's some other statements made in the letter that I've made notes on that are not correct, but I don't think it's necessary to address them unless you want to.
Okay.
But I'll entertain whatever you.
Kenny, you have thoughts?
I've read over that, but I don't. I guess the
I mean,
the recommendation from the collector is what? That we do not waive the penalties and interest, or we do, or because the question was, I guess.
I can just say there was no county error.
Let me ask then regarding his two-page, three-page letter that he has sent,
mm-hmm.
or that it's his name. along with the company's name. So your contention is that there's no validity in the questions that he's raised or the comments that he made, and your recommendation is, or your comment is, there was no county error. So that would mean, as I'm interpreting, that we are not to waive penalties and interest.
The only correction I would put on is in his letter, he says that we have a program, that I told him we had a program that was $440 a month where we search for the owner's statements. That's it's $130 a month, and we do, it has been beneficial, and we search in ways that we could not before. You only search that program if you get the letter back undelivered.
Okay.
And the ladies could find on the delinquent notice or the statements where it did not come back. I do not know if the recorder found that it came back to him or not, the deed originally. The deed, if it came back or if it was delivered somewhere. I don't know the policy there, and I haven't had a chance or
well,
to talk to Bob.
He would have erred then also then when he said that the address was erroneous and it was undeliverable, so that mail did not go there? I would assume that.
Well, I have a copy of the deed where they put on, that's where they want the address mailed to.
Also help me here, because we've been trying to ferret through exactly what our obligations are over the course of the last two or three weeks, and in reading in chapter 52.240, it says, no penalty or interest imposed under any law shall be charged on any real or personal property tax when there is clear and convincing evidence that the county made an error or omission in determining taxes owed by a taxpayer. Then any taxpayer claiming the county made an error or omission in determining taxes owed may submit a written request, which this gentleman's done, for a refund of penalties, interest, or taxes to the county commission or governing body of the county. If the county commission or governing body of the county approves the refund, then such penalties, interest, or taxes shall be refunded. And then we're from that point, once we've made, for example, if we rule and say that they will be waived, then the law says that the collector shall, in fact, make the refund. It says the county collector shall refund penalties, interest, and taxes if the county made an error or omission in determined taxes owed by the taxpayer. What do we want to do with this gentleman? Do we, because it falls to the county commission, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm in favor of refunding penalties and interest. I think there's enough, I wouldn't say confusion, but there's enough, I don't know, issues that it's a unique situation. And I'm not saying the collector did anything wrong. I'm not saying anybody. It seems like he has some issues that could we have done our process better? Possibly. What is the penalties and interest for this parcel that we're talking about? Ron, do you have this right there?
No.
I think it's about $900 or so.
Okay.
But when you're through, I would like for you to tell me what we could have done different, too.
Okay. I left my copy upstairs, and I apologize. He makes a statement in here that says, on the same day I went up to the upstairs to Bob Dixon's office to inquire about the warranty deed, he lists some instructions. He makes a statement of, after having a copy of the recorded instruction, why wasn't there some more contact? Is that, am I understanding what he's saying right here on the page 2 of his document? He has.
Okay, where is it?
If you look at the word questions, there's the third question down.
Why did the collector's office not inquire with the closing company?
No, that's the second question, the next one.
Okay, why did the collector's office, having a copy of the recorder's instructions, not try to contact me through a copy of the recorder's instructions?
Well, I guess that's my question. He's saying that if I'm reading this correctly, he supplied a mailing address to the recorder.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It has to be on the deed.
Okay.
When they file it. And then that is where the recorder would mail the deed and the assessor would pick up the name and address for the tax statement to be mailed from.
Okay.
Well, if there is to be no refund,
mm-hmm.
Then, Sheila, would you write him a letter with 1, 2, 3, and 4 and answer his questions as you're answering them to us?
I've got them, everyone answered here on 1, 2 pages.
Okay.
But, I mean, have they been mailed to him and those answers are unsatisfactory to him or what?
No, when he spoke with me, he was very, Mr. Wren himself, when he spoke in person, he was very understanding. He just said he had to have somebody to blame, and he was going to the recorder's office to see why he didn't get his deed. And I never heard back from him until this letter. I got a request from you gentlemen for penalties and interest. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who it was for or anything. Right. And then when I opened my mail, I had this letter.
Right. Well, I mean, if he has not seen those answers, if you wouldn't mind mailing him those responses? I mean, basically you have responses. I would just say let's mail the responses and wait for a response from him.
Yes, he heard everything from me in person the day, the procedure, and I showed him the mm-hmm. documents and so forth. And I shared with him the words that his co-owner of the property had said and the accusations. And we're getting into he said, she said here, so I won't go there. I will mail this to him, the responses, and with a tax statement. And I don't know what you voted, though. I'm sorry.
I think we have voted.
I didn't even make a motion. I was just talking.
That's what I think should be done. He has sent this 3-page letter. She has responses. I think those should be sent to him. And if there's any problem from him, I'm sure that because he sent all three of us one.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be, if there is a problem, after you respond, he's going to get back in touch with us. So I don't think we do anything until then.
Okay.
The only thing that I will point out in the letter to him is...
This is Mr. Wren.
I'm here.
Yes, well, thank you.
Which I didn't get any kind of notice that this would come up today, but I just happened to come in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is anything that I have said incorrect?
Well, I didn't get to hear anything you said.
Okay.
I just walked in when you said, what do you want to do? What was the vote?
Okay. The letter that you sent, do you want me to address this way or not? Tell me.
What we're doing is we have a copy of your letter that has been received. Then we're calling upon the county collector to answer that because penalties and interest are placed on bills such as this by the county collector by statute. Then in order to waive penalties and interest, it falls to this board to hear evidence to do so. We have your 3-page letter, and we're in the process of asking the county collector about the comments that you've made within your letter. But we've reached the point where Commissioner Strahan has asked the collector to answer these different points to you in writing. If those are not satisfactory, then our intention was to take this issue further, in which case you would have been notified to chat with us about this particular issue. But since you're here and we have this scheduled, it's okay with me if it's all right with the commission that we continue in this matter. Let me ask you to do this, though. If you would come up to this table because we record these and join us. For the record, you are Wesley Wren. All right. Let's continue then, if we will. And if Sheila, if you'll reiterate for Mr. Wren where we're at, then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Is that all right, sir?
Yeah. Okay. When you left the office, you were very courteous when you were in the office and everything. We discussed the matter. And I told you we had spoken to your partner on the phone, the co-owner. And I pulled the documents for you. We trailed from the beginning of how the address became on the tax bill. And how you were notified was because it was subject to the tax sale, and we do a lien search. We're not qualified title search people. We do a lien search, and we notify those that if their property is in jeopardy. And I pulled the copy of the deed for you and showed you. We sent it to the lien holder, and they notified your partner, and he called the next day then in regard to it. And that's how you first said you became aware. We went through items of the steps. I pulled the deed and showed you. I told you that the assessor got the address from the deed, that when the address is required to be put on the front page of the deed, that is where your deed is mailed to, and the tax statement. And I pulled the document and showed you where it was on the deed, 2299 South Business Highway. And then I asked you if you had ever gotten a copy of your deed, and you said no. And I suggested you might go to the recorder's office and see if it would be, if they didn't know the policy there, if it might be in the dead letter file or if it had been returned or what. And that's pretty much, and you left, and I did not hear or know any of some of these accusations until I got back from a conference last Thursday and opened the letter.
Okay. I think everything you said is correct. Okay. You told me that there just wasn't anything you could do about this penalty, mm-hmm. and you sent me upstairs to see about the deed, mm-hmm. and when I got upstairs and saw that it was clearly stamped on the front of that application or whatever it is that they use whenever they do the closing to send the deed to the title company. So then when I got to thinking about this, and I thought, well, if it's stamped right on there, just send it to the title company. When it came back the first year as undeliverable, then why didn't you send it to the title company?
We don't have the deed. That's in the recorder's office.
But you showed me a copy of that day.
And I explained to you that we have procedures for searching and how we search, you know, each letter as it comes back. And then when we come to the tax sale, we do a lien search. And when we do the lien search, we notify the lien holder of anyone that has property that might be subject to the tax sale. Now, what I'm looking at here, where you say stamped clearly, I don't work in the recorder's office, but if my experience when we make a deed out, you put the deed of the grantor and you put the address of the grantee it's to go to, and that's where it's mailed at. And it is written up here, Meridium Title Company. So I'm assuming that you said the recorder's policy was to mail it to the title company there?
It's not their policy.
Okay.
They were requested.
Oh,
what the
okay.
recorder said to me was, Meridium Title Company. They're one of the very few companies that won't come and pick up these titles. Mm-hmm. They ask us to mail it to them. And there was a stamp that they used that they had on the front of that document to mail that to them, please. So what I remembered from being in your office was that you told me that the second year you researched this out and found out that the LLC then had a representative, which was my attorney, and that you sent out a document to him telling him that we had not paid the taxes and the taxes were past due, which I did later get that from my attorney when I called him and said, what do you know about this? Oh, I think there may be a letter laying over here for you. Now, that was in the early part of this year. So what my argument was, whenever I got to putting all these pieces together, after I had visited with the assessor to see about an abatement, then I was instructed that abatements can't be done when there's 2 years' worth of penalties and taxes due. So then when I started putting all my pieces of my puzzle together, from my perspective, had I gotten the tax form when it was returned the first year, at the end of the first year, had you done the research that you did the second year, had I gotten it within that first year of time, I could have asked for an abatement, and I could have had this all cleared up. Then I could have got my tax statement for last year and paid the taxes. I'm not trying to avoid paying the taxes. I like to pay taxes. I had a friend back in my hometown said, I smile all the way to the tax office because the more taxes I owe, the more property I own. Yeah. You
know. Okay. Let me just say it's not an abatement, even on the first year. It's penalties and interest. You're not asking for the value of your property to be lowered, and that's where
that's
the assessor would come in.
That's what an abatement is, though, I understand.
Yeah, and you're not asking for the value of your property to be lowered.
I can't ask for that now because it's been 2 years. You can only get an abatement in the first year.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was instructed. I'm not an attorney.
Uh-huh.
I was told, I can't do an abatement for you, Wesley, because it's been 2 years now. So then that's where I thought, well, you know what? If I'd have got this letter the first time, and then I remembered back, and I'm not at fault. I can remember things wrong, but I understood you to tell me that you have a program that you use to do this research. And I said, well, then why didn't you use it the first year? Well, you didn't have it the first year. But to find out who the LLC is, all you have to do is go on the Secretary of State's webpage and put in the name of the LLC, and it tells you who the representative of the LLC is. So you didn't even need that program to find me at the end of the first year.
We did send a letter to the LLC. Let me explain, is that...
Not at the end of the first year they did not receive the letter. The letter we got, my attorney got, he just got it. He got two. He got two this year.
Mm-hmm.
After the taxes were already 2 years past due, was when that was done. This is the way I understand it, was when that was done. And so my greatest concern is simply... that if you waive the penalties, I'll pay the taxes, and we'll all go down the road and be happy about it. I'm not trying to tell you how to run your department, because it's never been of any concern to me. I've always got my tax statements, you know, and I heard you mention, just as I come in, you know, not to be, he said, she said, pointing fingers, mm-hmm. But what I tried to do was put all my information together. I talked to you. And I went upstairs and talked to Bob Dixon. I went downstairs and talked to Jim. And then I went home and I sorted this all out in my mind. And the best that I could tell, if I'd have got the statement once it was returned the first time for non-delivery, if sometime in that next year, that entire next year, I would have gotten that statement, I could have asked for an abatement. They could have. I'm not saying they would have, but they could have lowered the value of my property so that it would absorb the penalty. Then they could raise the value of the property back up the next year, and I could have got the tax statement correctly and paid the tax statement.
Okay, let me say something. I did have the girls look for the delinquent notices that went out and the original statement, and they didn't find what was returned.
Well, it wasn't delivered. It's not delivered because there's no mail delivered there.
I don't know what it, but they did look, and this is 2010. 2011 actual bill was returned, and the delinquent notices, they did not find where it's returned. I don't know what happened to it, but they did not find. And as far as the search is, we simply do not have a staff. It take one to do your first year when it's delinquent. We do the beginning search through a program that we can do, but to go to a lien search and to do how we found this, we do not have the staff for that.
Mr. Rune, can I ask you a question? You're saying that this address doesn't receive mail, is that right?
We do not receive mail at this address. In order for this location to receive mail, we have to put a post office mailbox outside the street, across the street from the building.
And
so most people who have businesses in the Highland Center do not receive mail there.
Okay.
Just recently.
Hold just a minute.
Let me just stop the conversation. I'm going to move that we waive penalties and interest for Wesley Wren's property. I'm not sure if it's 1 year or 2 years. I'm just what I'm going to say. Is it owned by Westcott Holdings? Is that mm-hmm. how?
Just say all years.
All years, waiving penalties and interest for Westcott Holdings property.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to waive interest and penalties for Wesley Wren, Westcott Holdings, LLC, for all penalties. Discussion.
And interest.
Penalties and interest, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we're describing it that way is because we don't have a property number for those that are listening. Discussion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Now, is that something I can bring you a check for today?
Yes, I mean, I'm hearing this, and I will, and on the note on it, we will note that per decision on this date.
Okay. Now I'll go get you a check.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
So something I haven't done in the past, so anytime that a customer then comes, and because this does happen, and the deed, the address on the deed is different than where they're getting their mail, then they'll I'll just send them forth, and they'll come forth, and you can give the okay on that.
Could we move on to your the other one that was in question?
Okay. Penalties. On April 19th, last Thursday, I was at Mandatory Collectors Conference in Jefferson City. And there was a meeting, and penalties and interest was brought up and discussed in regard to a customer, Bisto. And several times, Commissioner Danny Strahan said, I was hoping the collector would be here, but she is out at the at a conference, I guess. The collector should be here, and I wish Sheila was here to explain it all. And this was referred different times. Early this morning, I've been listening to the tape of the conversation due to the fact that I was coming in before you this morning. In the tape, much discussion took place about the collector's trash, and Mr. Hausman said, maybe we need to have somebody here from the collector's office because the rumor is that it was found. The morning the payment was made was found. I went to the commission office to make the commission aware. I was told the commission was not in today. It was not one of your regularly scheduled days, but that Mr. Hausman would be in about 30 minutes. I asked if when Ron got there and were interested, I have a document for him to see if he would come down. I did not hear from anyone. I shared with Mr. Strahan when I saw that he had posted this item last Thursday, August 19th, that I would be at a collector's annual conference and that the matter was taken care of. I went into detail with Mr. Strahan what happened. I told him when the payment was discovered, I immediately called the customer. I then followed the phone call with an email to the customer to explain in writing. I sent a copy of this email to Mr. Strahan along with the paid tax receipt showing no interest collected and why. And I say the above to assure you that you should not have thought it was a rumor that the check was discovered, because I had went to the office to discuss the matter, and I had discussed it with Mr. Strahan, and I had actually sent him the documents showing it was paid and everything. When I got back into the office from Jefferson City Thursday afternoon, I was told by my clerk, Melanie, that you had discussed the matter, and she had to go and try to explain, and she said perhaps she did not explain it very well. I did not know you wanted or expected me to come before you or go over the situation until I listened to the tape this morning. And I transcribed a portion of the tape. Melanie, the clerk in the collector's office, she explained with this.
Sheila.
Yes.
Thank you for your narrative. What we're interested in is this taxpayer and whether or not this county commission should vote on waiving the penalties and interest of this taxpayer. We were advised from you that we should not. Then we discovered that after searching, you all found a check, and that that check was applied to the taxes that were due. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the question we have for you today, and as why we asked for you to be here on this particular issue is it the responsibility of this county commission to waive penalties and interest, or is it not? That's pretty simple. I asked you that question a while ago, and you gave me an answer of yes.
I gave you an answer when the collector does not have the authority to. In the first meeting that we were in, when the check was not in our possession, we did not think that it was.
Let me re-ask a question. Mm-hmm. Did you apply penalties and interest to this tax bill?
No, sir, because legally I'm not supposed to.
I didn't ask if you charged them. Did you apply penalties and interest to this tax bill?
No.
Then why did it come before us to waive penalties and interest?
In the beginning, when it became before you, there was no check, and the account was not paid, and they wanted to pay it without penalties.
Let me re-ask. Were penalties and interest applied to this tax bill at any time?
After The, no.
You've
the bill was
applied,
not.
Never applied penalties and interest to this tax bill?
No. The customer was asking for relief from it from you, the commission, before we had the check in our possession.
I'm confused.
Okay. If.
I'm almost certain that you approached us within the last 2 or 3 weeks with a tax bill and asked us to consider either yes or no of waiving the interest and penalties that had been applied to that tax bill. And we had been informed that, and we went through an entire process, that the taxpayer had not paid this tax bill, nor had the holding company or bank or whomever it was done that, and you had researched and found that there had been no check cashed.
This is true.
Am I remembering that incorrectly?
This is true. And if you would have, and if the email that I sent Mr. Strahan, that is true, Mr. Hausman, that no check was cashed and there was no check found.
I appreciate that. This is real simple. Uh-huh. At any time did you ever apply penalties and interest to a tax bill and it came before us to either waive or not waive that penalties and interest?
Did I apply penalties and interest to this tax bill? No. If we had not found the check, he would have been charged penalties and interest, and that is why it had to come before you. Now,
it came before us, and our decision was whether to waive it or not waive it.
Yes, with them to pay it in April without a check in our possession.
I understand
that.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Okay.
Penalties and interest had been applied to it. It hadn't been paid. You approached us to waive it. This is real simple.
It is real simple. If
I'm not trying to go anywhere other than if we have the responsibilities under Missouri law to waive penalties and interest, we will do that. And I will accept your recommendation to do that. I'll accept it right now.
But my question is, if the collector's saying that there was no penalties and interest applied to this tax bill, then we have no, we actually aren't involved in the transaction because there's nothing to waive if there's anything.
I understand.
Okay, so.
But there were penalties and interest that were applied to it.
There would have been penalties
and. Because they came to us.
They would have been applied to it if it had been paid.
Did we just hear this 2 weeks ago?
I'm just.
So for the process, let's get to the process.
Mm-hmm.
So once you found the check, you applied that to the taxes, and we don't have to be involved. That's what you're saying.
That is correct because we go by the postmark.
Then we would be done with this issue, right?
That is correct. I emailed the customer. I sent them copies of it. I have a copy of here what was found. And let me state, because much in that meeting, much was said about the collector's trash, and it made it almost a joke, like a we.
As I understand it, as mm-hmm. was explained, that you house the envelopes that taxes come in, mm-hmm. and the tax payment itself was found within an envelope.
Mm-hmm.
You retain those, right?
The tax, we retain all envelopes until all notices are sent and if there's any question.
That's the information we were given.
Okay. Well, when I was listening to it on tape, I think your statement was something like, does the collector keep her trash from December till now?
Yes.
And so forth. And let me say that when my employee, Melanie, was brought down, was asked to come down, when she responded, when you asked, does the collector have the authority to waive the penalties and interest? And she said, she did. I don't know. She's at a collector's conference. I don't know. The statement to that, and then you said, we'll set this up for Monday, and you can have her come in and explain this to us. We just want to make sure. It would be an interesting conversation.
We just want to make sure we're doing what the statutes require us to do.
Okay.
We don't have to vote on it, and you've told me that we mm-hmm. don't.
And statute 139 139.100.4 covers this issue. If we find, or if it comes in the month of May with a December postmark, we accept it as December postmark. And the bill, when it's paid, would note that. Just like the bill today, when it's paid, we'll note that why it took place.
So, if we receive a request from you to waive penalties and interest or to consider waiving them, and then you find the check, you have the ability to take care of that yourself.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's fine.
And I think that request came from the taxpayer. I believe she had contacted one of the commissioners different times, and you wanted me to answer it.
Right. I think we all received an email, and
yes.
I think that you had conversations with this particular
mm-hmm.
person.
That's correct.
Who claimed that they had paid the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It was reported to us that they had not been received by the collector's office. I think that was you that had informed us of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that we had the check after all. So I think that we're done with this particular issue.
Okay.
Yep. Unless you all have another question. Are there any other penalties and interest considerations that should come before us? That's what we have listed.
Not that I know of, but based upon what we've just done, there will be, as the taxpayers, if they get their bill and the deed is got a different address on it, then where I normally would not, I would send them to you, then based on what you're telling me, you would like for me to, right?
I didn't tell you anything. All I did was vote on a motion that was in front of this county commission to waive penalties and interest on this particular statement.
Okay. But I know, based upon what you said, you would want to be fair to all, so that's what you would
absolutely
want me to do.
We want to be fair to all, and we're going to consider everything that you bring before us, whether it should be in front of us or not. We're going to consider it. Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you, Mr. Hausman.
Next.
The bid, I guess, bid procedure.
Randy, if you would join us, please.
Mr. Hausman, I do need to, so we can clear right now. May I?
Randy, come on up.
Do you not want me to ask you this question?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, I'm filling in for Ron Erickson as he's in training, and we have two bid openings. First one being the bid for gasoline and fuel. Bid number 201-203-172.
Can you say that again, Randy, please? The
bid
number?
Bid number 201-203-172, gasoline and diesel fuel.
172, okay. Thank you.
And we did have, he has sent out two addendums to this. First one, we have one no bid response from Morris Oil and Gas.
I'll let you read that.
The next bid is from Petroleum Traders Corporation.
Would you say that again?
Petroleum Traders Corporation.
Thank you. Where's that out of?
Fort Wayne, Indiana. Okay, I think I've got what I was looking for here. That's gallons as anticipated. Cost information, distributor's current cost per gallon for diesel fuel, number two clear, is 3.1860. Proposed markup for Taney County is 0.0537. Being a total cost for Taney County, 3.2397. Unleaded 89 octane gasoline. Price per gallon, 2.9846. Proposed markup for Taney County, 0.0610. Being total cost for Taney County, 3.0456.
Ron, could I ask you a question?
Sure.
I would rather that Randy is filling in, but I would rather that he just name the bidders and let Ron evaluate the cost structure and bring it to us, because I appreciate what you're doing, because it's due today, but we do have him evaluate bids with all the necessary figures of cost and all those things.
Right.
He's asking rather than the cost breakdown to have just the names.
Just to do the names to register the opening.
The opening as proceed that way.
Second bidder. Will be Tri Lakes Petroleum Company. Do you want me to read the... Okay.
No. I mean, what Ron usually says is that he says that...
He
signed the bid sheet, and that's
signed.
All.
All right.
That's what Ron usually sometimes does. If it's.
And that's all I have as far as...
bids?
So we have bids on diesel and gasoline.
So you had Morris with the no bid. You had Petroleum Traders Corporation with a bid, and Tri Lakes with a bid. Okay.
Yes.
Randy, we'd like for you and Ron to go through these bids and then report back to the County Commission. Give us the normal breakdown that you do that is provided by the bidders.
Okay.
With the recommendation.
Right, and the availability of the bids when Ron gets back are open for any of the bidders to look at.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Is that okay with the Commission?
Yes. Are there other bids?
I have one more bid, and this bid was for construction materials, bid number 201-204-174.
Before you open them, how many bids did you get there?
I have received two bids.
Okay. And this is for, is it for the shingles and the Mount Branson? Is that what this
right.
is?
Right. This is for the metal and
the metal
shingles
and all that. Okay.
Construction material.
With two bids, guys, is it all right with him to open them?
Yes.
Me too. Okay.
Okay. First bid is from C. Meeks. I do have a bid form that is signed. correct bid number.
Great.
Okay. The second bid is from Herman Lumber, and it is signed.
Great. Could you, is it possible that we could let Randy review those? Because I think it's a pretty straightforward bid. Come back with a recommendation. Either on Monday we'll post it, or later today. Well, we're supposed to be out of here.
Ron will be
if
back.
It's all right, I would rather Ron also okay. look these over, if that's all right
sure.
with you gentlemen.
Sure,
and then we'll
your...
come back with a recommendation, because I want to make sure he's satisfied with how they filled
them
out.
Just make sure you work with Nikki to get it posted when
okay.
it's the appropriate time. So.
All right.
Perfect.
Let me put that with the... Okay.
Who has the, Nikki, do you have the, I'm just talking, do you have the ACE Transmission Repair Service Agreement with you? Oh, Ron has it? Okay, that's. Still be on schedule.
That transmission deal, is it ready for approval and signature?
It looks like it's been reviewed by Frank Cotty, and that he is okaying it. So, I move that we enter into the transmission repair services agreement with ACE Transmission, as reviewed by council.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to enter into an agreement. It's been approved by council with ACE Transmission Repair Services by and between that company and the county. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Did she just say the treasurer is going to reschedule? Okay. You want to
we'll reschedule the commission task collaboration meeting also.
Should we post that one?
Yeah.
Can we jump to, I guess it's Road and Bridge again.
Let's Wellness Center's only going to take a second, isn't it? A minute or two?
Five.
Because we're going to spend the rest of the time with
you
these
gentlemen. Right. Who's the spokesperson? Nikki, looks like. You want to sit that up there on the... No, you don't have to go anywhere. You just sit up there.
She may not get in.
Would you introduce your wellness committee people?
This morning I have with me Melissa Trotter, Judy Gross, Susie Braden, and Glenda Giles.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I just took liberty right there.
Don't keep
No, go ahead. No,
no, no,
no, no, go ahead.
Just don't shake me too hard when I'm snoozing. Nikki, you
we
may
had,
begin.
Yes, we had a committee member resign. Approximately 3 to 4 weeks ago, we sent out an email to all county employees asking if there was anyone interested. We have only received one back thus far. It is attached to the agenda request form.
Before we talk about the individual's name, representation, how do we, I mean, my only concern was trying to get some of the larger departments involved,
mm-hmm.
like the Sheriff's Department, Road and Bridge. Do we have a Road and Bridge person on the Wellness Committee?
No.
And we don't have any, do we have anybody from the Sheriff's Department?
Not anymore. No, I did send an email over to the Sheriff's Department to the individual you and I talked about.
Right.
And I had not received anything back. I think it's difficult for some of the deputies to serve because every 3 months, I believe, their shift changes.
Right.
And they can't be as involved as I think that they would like to be.
It's not that I'm opposed to that individual. I'd just like to see some larger groups represented.
That.
Is there a way you could reach out to those departments one more time? I mean, unless I'm just speaking as one commissioner here, is there anything pressing that would require a meeting that you would want that person because you won't have a quorum or not that?
I mean, we're down to 6 committee members.
Okay. It's a 7-person board, right? Mm-hmm. Could you, I mean, is it all right with you guys to?
Is you send out an email request to everyone, correct?
Correct.
You had one response.
Uh-huh.
Is this a recommendation from the Wellness Committee? Or are you just submitting to us the one person who has responded?
I think it's kind of both. I mean, okay. I think it would be great to get a male back on the Wellness Committee. You know, but in the same sentence, I would also like to have somebody from the judicial facility because a lot of people use it from the judicial facility. At this point, it's about 50% of our usage is from the judicial facility.
I hate to say it like this, but you term limit, does each individual have a term that they spend on the Wellness Committee and then you reappoint after a certain period of time? Or
I think it's like the Supreme Court, sir.
I don't believe it was set up that way initially. You gentlemen are responsible for appointing the members, but it was never stated how long each member would serve.
Okay. Well, why don't you try to work on something like that on a review? I have no problem with, especially if it was emailed out,
right,
going ahead and making this appointment, but then maybe set up like a 2-year term or a yearly term that you roll some, whoever's been on there, and just move it on. This is fine with it.
I mean, the process of that would certainly be up to you gentlemen,
yeah,
however you wanted to do that.
Are you making a motion, or are you?
I'm making a motion that we go ahead and approve this individual with sufficient notice being published.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to appoint Scott Sterrett to the Wellness Advisory Committee. Discussion. I think that Dan's comments should be discussed by the Wellness Committee and have you all take a look at that and bring back to us some thoughts on what will be in our best interest. Do we want to look at revolving 2-year terms? Do we want to look at revolving 3-year terms? What do we want to consider? Maybe you could bring something back to us.
Okay.
All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Real quick, just wanted to kind of give you an update on the usage since January, which was the last time that we met with you gentlemen. Usage has increased. Over the 2.5 years that we have been operating downstairs, we've logged it over 6,000 entries.
Wonderful.
So I think that's great. I mean, employees are using it, and we're trying to have different, you know, fun things for the employees to get involved and participate. Fundraisers, raffles, weight loss challenges, things like that. So we're just trying to become creative.
Nikki, while you're sitting there, can we move into agenda request review, and then we're going to take up R&B for the remainder of our time?
She's got one other.
I have one other.
I'm sorry, on wellness? Go ahead.
Yes. The Wellness Committee has been thrown around the idea of possibly getting a vending machine to place downstairs. That way we could become self-sufficient.
For repairs and things like that of equipment?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. We have found one at Sam's.
Mm-hmm.
And we're asking to purchase it.
Okay.
It is under the bid the, you know, 4,500.
Okay.
It's 4,495.
Now, you guys have done some fundraising. You've done some, you've had some donations, some sales of items. I know you're keeping, the money gets all turned into GCR, but I know you're keeping a separate ledger basically
as
how much money is coming in through the wellness efforts. How are we doing with that?
Well, over the past two fundraisers, we've made enough to purchase the leg machine.
Okay.
Which is great because that is why we were having the fundraisers. And we still have a fund quite a bit in there. I mean, each one of our fundraisers, it just goes back in, and we really try not to spend, you know, very much, because that's what we're operating off of.
Okay.
Jim, I've got a question for you, and I think it was brought up one other time when we met with them, and maybe not last time, but they were wanting to supply these vending machines, and they were going to put this one in the wellness center. Mm-hmm. And I brought up the question, why couldn't they, as they reach their funding, put these in different locations? I know we're probably under contract with the, but we don't need two in this building. There's no sense in having two in this building. The wellness committee, which affects all county employees, let them, as they build their funds or donations or whatever come in, mm-hmm. let them go ahead and put those in here and in the judicial facility to operate.
I agree.
The
I mean,
wellness
I mean,
center. It takes the burden off of our tax mm-hmm. payers also, mm-hmm. and so I'm in full support of letting them use the vending machines and buy them as monies are appropriated are appropriate for them to pay for themselves. And we'll have to check into the contract that we might have with
the vending company,
the vending companies that are in these locations, to see if they expire or when they.
Okay. Don oversees all of the vending machines, so I'll get with her and see.
But I'm in favor. I know that from a stocking, you're going to try to stock more
correct
healthy alternatives and all that. So
I think
so. You're in favor of getting rid of the machines.
We've got to move on.
Yeah, go ahead.
So
I'm in favor of you purchasing, and it doesn't have to be downstairs. I mean, I want people to use it. I mean,
right.
That's the whole purpose of it. So
right.
Why don't you work with Don on the other vending
okay.
also, and but I'm in favor of that.
We need that in a motion. Versus
we'll pay it. We'll approve it through accounts payable. But we'll give him direction now.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
below the bid amount.
Yes.
If that's all right. We can do it that
yes.
way.
Yes. Okay.
Well, it's an expenditure of county funds. Do we go ahead and need to make a motion? I'll make the motion that we approve it.
Okay, second. Well, I mean, hold on. Let me pull back the second here. We don't know how much it is. I mean, I'd much rather say that.
If you want to make a motion to approve the concept, I believe we can do that and move forward
and
because
move forward.
We can approve it through accounts payable.
Yes,
is that all right?
That's fine.
Commissioner Strahan is going to make a motion to approve the concept as presented by
Nikki. I'll second that.
Jim's going to second the motion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
That's true.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You ready for agenda, Nikki?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, very much.
I appreciate you serving, ladies.
Three items that are being requested to go on Monday's agenda.
Number two, from the bottom, the proposed fireworks stand amendment. We got an email saying that he is going to be posting that, I believe, he has to post 15 days in advance. Is that not what the email said for a code book amendment change?
I've seen in the newspaper where they'd already done that.
Well, the P&Z approved it, but they still have to post it before we can have a hearing.
Okay.
So that's what the email Bob sent us, is that they have approved the amendment to go to the hearing process. So
what we need to do is to have you work with Bob, and when that time has come for us to have a public hearing, then we'll schedule it.
Yeah, just post it accordingly.
Okay.
records destruction, I believe that's just a standard time of the year
correct.
Kind of thing, based off a list, right?
Correct.
I'm good with that, posting that Monday whenever. Is that all right with you, gentlemen? So you can just post that. I mean, I think it's a statutory authority or responsibility.
Okay.
And I'm not sure the last one, is that something that was requested?
Yes, it's an annual document that has to be signed. It's a sales tax report that they get from the state.
Okay. So then,
it's a very, very quick.
Post it Monday. If we can, I'd like to see the document before Monday. So if you want to, you can email it to me or scan it to me or whatever.
Okay.
So I think the top three were waiting on opinions.
The first one, can we get that bumped back up Frank's list? We've been waiting since December on this. It's very easy. It's like a page and a half.
Why don't you just work with him? I don't think we're...
He's waiting on direction from you, gentlemen.
I'm not sure what it is.
I'm not either.
It's Intrinsicorp.
It's what?
It's Intrinsicorp.
And
with
that
the assessor's office.
I don't know what he's waiting for us from
Has
us.
Has Frank reviewed an agreement with the assessor's office? Is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh.
He has reviewed.
Has he said to approve it?
It's a software license.
Has he given approval for it?
He has not, because some more pressing issues came on top, which bumped it down on his list.
Well, we'll get with Frank and ask him to look at this and to either give us an approval or move it forward. We need to get it signed.
That's all.
Okay, I've got an issue that I need to bring up, and either we agendize it or don't agendize it, and this may be moot based upon other decisions that the library board has made, but I am in receipt of a letter that's dated April 13th, and it's from Barbara Graham, and it asks the county commission to put a tax referendum for the Taney County Library District on the August ballot. And then it goes into explaining why they want it then, and then how essential the libraries are, et cetera, and for us to have that discussion. I know that they had a meeting this week.
Last Thursday, I believe.
Last Thursday, okay.
Where they told me, because I told them, I said, they told me a letter was going to be, it was in the mail, I believe. And I said, okay, then I'll request to be posted, to post a discussion. At the end of the meeting, I was asked by some of the board members. It wasn't a quorum, so it wasn't an official board meeting. It was a Friends of the Library System meeting. Some of the board members asked me not to bring it forward because they were reevaluating the date and they thought that they were going to move it back. So the timing of this is what I would say is if we could have Nikki talk to Ms. Sarah Kleinfelder.
Actually, Barbara Graham is the president of the library board. She's the one that sent
from
me
Forsyth.
The letter.
It's Forsyth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from Forsyth. It's not the library board.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. It is the Forsyth Library.
Yeah. So the library board's the one who was supposed to get back with us. When did they meet? Did they meet this week?
Tuesday.
They were supposed to bring up what day they were going to ask the commission which election. I mean, I was supposed to say if she wants to go to
Sarah.
Do you
need to contact Sarah?
Yes, please do that.
I'll just CC Sarah the copy of this letter also.
Can
you have a copy, yeah.
Yeah, if you'll find out where they're at, if in fact they want to have an audience with the commission, et cetera.
Right. And just so you know, Nick, this court case is posted next week. I'm going to be gone Tuesday, Wednesday. I guess it's a 3-day posting. So I may not be here next Thursday either.
Okay.
So.
I'm rooting for 4 days.
Are you? Well, I'll be definitely out. That's for sure. So please load up that Thursday. I won't be here.
Nikki, I think that's it. Gentlemen, sorry we've been so long. If we can go back to R&B. You've got our attention for up to half an hour. How's that? Okay, 20 minutes. Nikki, go ahead and start, gentlemen.
Can I go back to this list, Randy? Just,
yes.
I was looking at your list and thinking, are you saying that Dale Avenue, would, with $20,000, we could fix the flooding issue with Dale Avenue, fill in that road, and repave it? Is that what we're saying? We won't have to use that parcel that we, was it Ebb Johnson's property that we used temporarily?
What we were thinking is basically filling in the existing road, where it's at. We may have to acquire some additional right of way.
We
need to take some shots to see if the slope.
The more I thought about that, $20,000 fixes a huge problem and an inconvenience to a bunch of residents. My concern is the pump station. How does it change the way they connect access it, because it's lower than the, or is that the same? And then the boat ramp just to the left? Does it change that a little bit?
Yes. Anytime you raise the road, it's going to change slopes. We'll have to readjust the slopes out as far as access to that parking lot, the sewer plant, and also the boat.
Danny, the more I think about this, for $20,000, we can fix a problem. Here's
where I'm at with this, Jim.
Okay.
As we approach these problems that we have throughout the county, before the incidents happen again, we approach them one at a time. We've got the KDOT project, which is mainly complete, so I'm in full agreement with you that we start on one of these other projects and move forward with it. You're using $20,000. We came under on the KDOT project. Hopefully we can come under that on this if we get the easement and right away. We need all the permits cleared.
The Castle Rock Drive, it looks like that's a low cost. Well, where is that? I don't remember.
That's up there, and there's way more to that than
$10,000.
Well, there's way more to it. We're pushing water on other people's property.
Oh, that's the one you talked to me about.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a bigger issue, because we're going to be pushing water back, won't we?
Right. The church camps will be similar to
the same
that
way.
Also.
What about Remus?
I'm going to agree with you on the first one.
Okay.
And let's wait and get that project finished and see where we're at in the budget for these gentlemen on other projects. That's the way I want to.
Okay.
I would like to approach. And
I appreciate it. What I want to do is, if we need to start couple of these smaller ones just to start the ball rolling.
As we move them along and get them completed, then I think it's very important for the public to know that we're addressing these issues.
Right.
But we'll complete one like we did K. It was a long process to get that done.
Okay.
And then we move along and we do this other one from Dale Avenue, and then we approach another one after that. And in the meantime, we get all this other work done that the county needs done.
Then what I would ask, Randy, is if you would get with Melissa, maybe on the two most expensive ones on this list, and see if there's any mitigation that we can get money, since that's down the road. Maybe the process can get started, and then maybe there is some money available to help. Because Clevenger serves a lot of people, and obviously we know what happens there.
That's going to be a big one there.
Right, and I'm thinking if there's any money there, that would be a great one to have some federal money in.
These smaller estimated costs like Dale Avenue and some of these, what we're anticipating is using the fill that we already have as far as our stockpiles on part of it, and if we have any left over up there at 65-160, we've got that obligated to Boys Camp right now, what's left up there. But that's kind of some of the reason we were looking maybe fall. I mean, right now we're going to get busy in surface and other things. So some of this we might be looking, and that would give us time, or give myself time, as far as researching some of this other easements, different things like
surveying
that.
And all that. I mean, I'm for that.
And then there will be, if we do need right away, there will be costs as far as surveyor descriptions or issues like that. And this one may require, being part of that, maybe on core or not, I need to check with them to make sure it doesn't require a permit, or if we get their
if it is,
that may
run for a long process.
Yeah,
that may be.
We won't be commissioners when this one gets fixed.
So that's kind of what we're looking at with them.
Do you have two of those?
You want mine?
Mine disappeared.
There is one.
That's all right.
The first project on the widening and fill, part of this, or actually all this road come up under the chip seal cost. It's called McGee Keys, King Creek. We have had the right-of-way there for about 3-4 years on this, and it's basically widening a narrow spot, fixing an intersection where these roads split. We're actually going to surface part of King Creek down to this, skip this intersection, and maybe this fall get this widened out and then resurface with chip seal on the following year, and because we have other work on. It turns into Blair Ridge on the far end, but it's a very long road. I didn't put Blair Ridge, that part of the road, on our seal list because it would have took up quite amount of mileage and whatnot. So we're trying to phase some of this in over a couple of years. But this particular project we've had on there, and that's kind of an estimated cost. A lot of the materials can be generated right there on site. That may be a little higher than what we're actually be spending on it. So, but that's something we can look at a little later on.
This is what I wanted. There wasn't any pressing issue on projects or anything else. Just needed to know. I wanted to know where the budget's at so I can do some other work for the road and bridge department. And so I wanted to do some estimation here.
All right. There was one item I did mention to you earlier in the week that we're going to try to do next week, and we've had the product bought, and that's putting the micro deck surfacing on these bridge structures, and mm-hmm. we've had 15 structures that we need to get that put on there, and the weather is optimal right now, so we're going to try to get that done next week.
Okay.
On what now?
It's called micro deck. It's a liquid stuff that helps protect the concrete from salt, calcium type stuff.
It's not like an epoxy.
It's a liquid product that. Okay. I don't know how you.
Because MoDOT does this, doesn't it? And that's what I think the recommendation came from you was a MoDOT.
Right. MoDOT, the bridge inspector recommended doing this on one or two structures that were already seeing deterioration from the salt and calcium get within the seams and the cracks, and so we got to clean. And
what was the procedure that the individual gave as a presentation the other day at the Southwest Commissioners Association that a number of counties, including Greene County?
I have my files upstairs.
Wasn't that slurry seal?
It wasn't.
I mean, he gave a real presentation. It was
a different process to chip seal,
micro paving, wasn't it?
They're able to use larger aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
Larger
aggregate.
Larger aggregate because of the oil process. They're able to use larger aggregate, which lets the chip seal roads wear longer. And we had about 4 or 5 counties that have been doing it and have seen huge savings in their.
Because it lasts so much.
It lasts so much longer. The lifespan is. I want to say it was 3 or 4 extra.
Is he from Clever or was it? I can't remember.
He was Cleverstone, is what the name of the. Cleverstone was the guys who have experimented with it, and that's the construction company. I don't remember who it was. But the biggest thing is they use a larger aggregate, which the chip seals roads hold up longer.
Apparently they've done this in different areas and testing it for counties.
After they put the rock down, are they coming through with another surface to help hold the...
Another product?
Yeah, there is a process. I mean, they do a chip seal like we do, but then they come back over the rock
Actually, it's like almost a screed. It's almost like a slurry steel because it's actually a 1/8 inch thick. Come up with a special machine. And it was interesting, but it seals the chip seal. It's just another process to chip and seal, but it lasts. Right. I want to say it added another 4 years to the lifespan of a chip seal road, and with the larger aggregate.
You've got a different situation, though, Jim, than what we have a unique situation in Taney County because of the difference in what we get in chips. Our chips are limestone chips, or they're flint
flint type chips or hard chips, soft
chips? That question came up, though. And he said, I mean, that question came up with the different types of stones, and they've had both successes in both the different types.
Okay.
It was intriguing enough for us to...
Just something I think worthy of us to take a look at.
But Greene County's done it. It was Greene, and there's like four or five counties there that have been doing it for a couple of years, and they started seeing a return on their investment in the road and bridge.
Good.
Do you have...
I've got some information.
You got the information? Okay.
I do. It was worth looking into.
There is a... we do have this on our materials bid. They call it a fog seal. I'd like to try at least a short section of road, one without heavy traffic on a chip seal or any type of road, just to get an experience, see if this works. You basically use the tack, and it's another mixture of oil in there. It kind of livens up a dried-out asphalt type situation. All you do is you put it on with a distributor. You need to keep traffic off for a period of time until it cures out, and it's usually about 30 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on weather. They call it just a fog seal. States used it periodically, and it helped kind of liven up the material that's already there. We have never done that here, and a lot of reason we just don't take the time to close the roads down, or some roads you can't use this on because of traffic. You just can't shut a road down like that. But some of these more rural areas where it just has minor cracking, I'd like to try a little bit of that, just to kind of experiment, see if that works in any place.
I may have it right here. Mike Donaldson presented...
Right.
Donaldson Construction, he called it pavement preservation, but I don't have that process. If you wouldn't mind contacting Mike Donaldson, do you know Mike?
Yeah, I've got it. We've
just have him talk to you about what he presented to the Southwest County Commissioners meeting we had last week.
All right.
It was intriguing enough for us to look at, I thought. Okay.
You guys have any?
Mr. Stahl, come on.
I have one thing for you after the meeting's over. But.
All right, got something for you too.
I asked Randy this morning. Do we have a drinking fountain over at Hilda?
Yes.
Because emails. We do have one in the west, or we don't have one in the west.
Yes, we have one.
We
don't have one.
Do we want to do the same in the Mount Branson? And I had a couple of guys ask me that question. I started talking to...
Well, I mean, if we do it together, yeah. Sure.
Ours is just hooked into the water.
Small drain.
I mean, it's not
for the guys that come
in
cold water.
What do you guys have? What are they?
I don't have a clue.
We have a fountain.
They have a fountain.
It's hooked into
water,
your water,
have ice.
Right? It's not...
We have an ice machine in all three.
They've got to have ice machines and things like that.
Do you have an ice machine?
We've got an ice machine. We do not have a drinking fountain in... I had that on the list to ask you all about.
Go ahead.
About
just
removing
plumbed in, right?
Yeah, I talked to Mr. Biggs about it already, and he said it could plumb right into the water line that's there. And
if you want it, get it.
I want to put the hand thing out front so they can fill their buckets.
I think they'll prime the pumpkin in my bucket for and see if they.
And they've asked for a refrigerator, but
next thing they'll want indoor restrooms.
You want a what?
They've been asking for a refrigerator.
How big are Mr. Houseman? Now they're wanting.
You want a small refrigerator?
And microwaves. And
what do you want? What do you guys have?
We have a refrigerator.
You have a refrigerator? Do you have a refrigerator?
No, we're not that.
Yes, he has a refrigerator. Yes.
So I'll get his out of the dump.
Oh, gosh. And I've stored food in that.
Gentlemen.
I met with MoDOT yesterday on the Quincy Road just to get their input on it, the guy that issues the permits. And he said that, he took the measurements and pictures and kind of got our idea on it, but he's just going to put it in a draft form until we get approval, whether you all want to do it or not.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of a time-consuming process because they've got to move some major power lines. So if you guys, once you do approve it, you know, I'll find out and let them know, and because it could take,
well, he talked several months to get all that moved.
That one's on your list here, and basically it's just mainly involving the entrance right there by the barbecue place where you turn in, and it's really a difficult entrance the way the highway slopes, trying to get bigger vehicles turned in there. I mean, supply trucks going to a plumber's tire and wheel.
They're dragging there, and some of them getting real close to the...
There's trailers that drag on the... Okay. When they turn in there, when we pave that road, MoDOT required us to drop the entrance a little bit to what it used to be.
Okay.
Which made that incline just steep enough in the slope of the highway, people try to swing wide in the other lane to get turned in. And they tend to drag a little bit, so it's... We've had a few complaints on it.
Quincy's where again? Help me out.
Right by Dana's Barbecue on right. 76.
Okay. I'm thinking, I know.
It's a state issue that we'd be trying to help out with.
Right. I mean, we can't do anything with the highway itself, but basically if we do something with our road, we need to drop the elevation of our road down for about 100 feet back, which changes the entrance of the barbecue place.
And okay.
We may be looking at, if we do drop that, we've got to deal with drainage issues. We may
be
able to curb and gutter that section for a little ways because open ditch is going to come out of play.
So that's why the cost is an issue.
He did tell me that they would require it to be curbed at least back to their right of way.
That you're starting the process of highlights, right?
I can if I knew.
We've got to talk to them because there's one pole that's going to have to be adjusted somewhere.
It's a lot of state talk before we get there.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like there's a lot of pre-work before we can say that.
Right.
I mean, obviously.
I need to get with MoDOT a little more and thought on this and see what they can do.
Okay.
And also help.
So you're
going to
get with the state then and talk to them about that thing?
Yeah, I mean, Devin met with the guy that gives the permits for, if we do anything to an entrance, we've got to deal with permits.
Right.
And basically we need to get more involved with them, see if they'll help us a little bit or do something there.
Okay. What else you got,
Devin? That's it.
Are we going to let him buy a refrigerator?
I think that we watch around pick up a refrigerator in one of these sales that they have.
We may have one extra one here.
That we may have somewhere around here.
Let's take a look. I don't want to go very long without one. But yes.
Well, I'm assuming if guys bring their lunch and if guys do different things, they want a place to put it for the keeps. And I understand.
Would you do one thing? You know Renee Bruska. Would you just get with Renee and ask her if she knows of anything in the county system, and then let us look for another week or so and then bring it back up if we don't have, because she may have some of those.
Yeah.
Obviously, we need to be consistent across all the barns.
The Rick's all the time at those
sales
and stuff.
So I'm getting one.
So I can always keep an eye open, too.
That there's prime place.
Is that it, gentlemen?
Yeah. That's all I have.
Motion to recess. Have we got anything else on there?
Well, we were told, based off Robert's rules, that there's nothing else listed. He doesn't need a motion to adjourn from us. He can just adjourn. And we really can't adjourn because we're going to the 11:30 VITA.
We'll stand in recess until the VITA luncheon at Keeter Center at 11:30.